Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our website at www.christopcatl.org. Christ OPC meets for worship each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Good morning. Turn your Bibles together with me to Mark chapter 12. Beginning from verse 35 to 37. And as you do that, I would like to bring greetings to all of you from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Redeemer OPC in Chamley Tucker. We always pray for the work and the ministry of this church. We love you all in the name of Christ, and you continue to be in our prayers. And pulpit swap always gives a privilege to pastors to revisit some of their old sermons, still new for you, but also it gives us the opportunity to visit with the broader church, our sister churches, and join saints in the worship of the true and the living God, like this privilege that I'm having this morning with all of you. Mark 12, 35 to 37. God's word for God's people. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throne heard him gladly. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we now bring ourselves under the proclamation of your word, once again, we pray that you would rule our hearts by your holy and infallible and life-giving word. We pray that you would use the Holy Spirit to conform us to the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we also pray that as we hear your word this morning, our chief end and purpose would be your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is the man Jesus for you? Is he only the Son of Man, or he's more than the Son of Man? Is he merely the Son of David, from the line of David, or more than that? In this brief but very powerful and fundamental portion of the Gospel of Mark, our Lord Jesus Christ addresses this important and foundational reality and truths about his identity, who he really is. Remember where we are. This is the final week in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and, you know, all the Sanhedrin were coming to Jesus Christ with a lot of questions. Questions that they wanted to use to trap Jesus, to catch him, making statements that would turn all the Jews and all the religious leaders in Israel against him and point him to the point of his execution. The intention was to kill him. The intention was to stop him from preaching the kingdom of God. And one of the questions that the religious leaders asked him was, who do you think you are to tell us that we have made the house of your father the den of robbers? Who do you think you are? How dare you call our God my father, who gave you that authority? That was the issue. You see, his authority that was from above was challenged by the religious leaders in Israel. And what does that show you, my friends? This should show you that the Jewish people in Jesus' time had a huge misconception of Jesus' real identity. Let me tell you what I mean. They knew that the Messiah will be from the line of David. But they didn't know and believe that he is also the Son of God, God in the flesh. So right before his crucifixion, we see Jesus telling them that he was more than the Son of David, that he was both the Son of David and the Lord of David on all people. Everyone on earth must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, not only as fully man, but also fully God, God in the flesh. People should bow down and worship him. People should bring their homage to Jesus, the Son of God, as God. And by God's grace, I want us to consider this under 3 points this morning, right from our text. First, I want us to consider the misapprehension in verse 35. And then the explanation in verse 36 and 37. And then what is required from us in verse 37. So we start with the misapprehension. Verse 35. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, beloved, think about Jesus' question to these people. Think about it seriously. So far, the religious sects in Israel have been coming to Jesus with several questions. As I told you, their intention, their purpose was to catch him with making statements that they can use to turn the people against him. One of the questions, of course, was, where does your authority come from? Should we pay our tax to Caesar? Would there be life after death? And if there is life after death, then how is marriage going to be handled in heaven? Which commandment is the greatest commandment? And notice, Jesus addressed all those questions in a way that he made them speechless. The conclusion of all their attempt to discredit his ministry, to have him killed by the Romans, was this. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. That's your Savior. That's my Savior. He answered all their questions. Of course, unbelief was the problem in their life. And they rejected all answers that he gave them about himself, about where his authority comes from. Now, the class has no question for Jesus. Now the teacher will ask the students. You see, Jesus is now turning the table toward them. And he's asking them a question. A question not for their distraction. A question that was not filled with ill feeling towards them, but a question that was a saving question. A question that was gracious. And the question was, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? A biblical and theological question. It was a searching question. Jesus was saying to everyone, I really want you to think about this question in relation to your salvation, in relation to your response to the gospel, your response to Christ. Jesus was telling them, answering this question is a matter of life and death for you. Don't ignore this question. Who is Jesus? And why is he called the Son of David? David himself calls him Lord. Now, beloved, you all know that both the Old and the New Testament affirms to us that the Messiah will come from the line of David. So why is Jesus even asking this question? Is he disagreeing with the Old Testament? No. It was because the Jewish people had a view concerning the Messiah to come, that the Messiah would be a man, a human being, but no more than a man. That they had a view that he will be an earthly ruler, a man of an immense power and influence and might, but just a man. Think about that. That was their view of Jesus. He will be great. He will be powerful, but he will be only man. He will rise to conquer all of Israel's enemies and accomplish all the promises that were given to Abraham and David, the promise of a kingdom. His power will be beyond anyone that the world has ever seen. It will transcend all other rulers in Israel, but only as a man. The son of David, not more than that. They didn't believe that he will be the savior of individual souls. And he's God, but he's God in the flesh. You see now why Jesus asked the question in verse 35. What Jesus was asking was, in what sense is the Christ the son of David? In what way? In what sense? Yes, you are right. He is the son of David. But is there more in his identity than him being the son of David? Where did they get the idea of the Messiah being the son of David? 2 Samuel 7. 12 and 13, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That was plain. You see, the prophecy in 2 Samuel told everyone in Israel that God will raise up a Messiah from the loins of David, but his kingdom will be forever. That's not David. That was the greater David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. David's kingdom didn't endure forever. But Jesus' kingdom will endure forever. So, in 2 Samuel, God wanted the people of Israel to look beyond David, to embrace a Messiah that will come from the line of David, but greater than David. Even David will call him Lord. Even David will come under his lordship. Even David will come before him and confess his sins. That was not in their mind. Matthew 9:27, and as Jesus passed from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Even these two blind men understood that there was mercy, there was forgiveness in the Son of David. Matthew 12:22-23, then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him. So that man spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the Son of David?" Some of them were near to the kingdom of God. Some of them were not far from the kingdom of God, but they were not in the kingdom of God. Knowing things about Jesus, assuming things about Jesus, will never bring you into the kingdom. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. You see, the whole scripture presents to us Jesus as the Son of David. The question is, what does it mean? They were referring to the Messiah as the Son of David. In a sense, they were right. There was no lack of understanding on that part, but it was not enough, you see. It was not complete. It didn't go beyond Jesus being the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus called his disciples one day, and he asked them, "What are people saying about me? Tell me what the talk is in town. You know, what people are talking on the street about me. Oh, some are saying John the Baptist. Some are saying Elijah." And Jesus said, "What about you? Who am I?" You remember Peter? Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Holy Spirit gave Peter this insight, this revelation into the identity of Jesus. And he proclaimed Jesus not just as the Son of David, but as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's, you see, where Jesus was drawing these people to. I want you to be where Peter was. I want you to know me as God. Not only as the Son of David, but as God, as Lord. And then we come to the explanation. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David?" Now listen to this. "David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Now remember, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. This is a messianic prophecy in Psalm 110, verse 1. Jesus knew the scripture. He knew the word of God. And he had to bring them to the Old Testament. And through the prophecy in the Old Testament, he had to show them even the Old Testament spoke of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as God in the flesh. Isn't that amazing? In Psalm 110, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So unique king, so different king. After the order of Melchizedek, only Jesus is worthy for this title, for this position. But how did David spoke this prophecy? You know, David spoke this prophecy by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit compelled him, the Holy Spirit caused him to recognize that even David called Jesus Lord. You see, it is not enough to say that the Christ is the Son of David. Why? Why is it not enough? Because David refers to him as Lord. Even David himself, he wanted the people of Israel to call his son Jesus Lord. If the Messiah is only a man, how can David call him Lord? How can he be David's son and David's Lord at the same time? Well, David himself tells us in Psalm 110, verse 1, his kingdom will endure forever, and by his power, people's life will be transformed. Something that David never did in his life as a king. But this Messiah, this son of David, will come with power. And people will come under his power willingly, with a willing heart. Come sit on the throne and rule over all the universe forever. Sit at my right hand. It doesn't mean that there will be a chair at God's right hand. It is a sign of power and rule by the Messiah. Even to rule people's heart. To rule people's heart so that they would confess their sins. Beloved, you all remember after the Son, the Christ died on the cross, a shameful death for the sake of God's people. After he was raised from the dead, after he defeated the power of death and hell, the Father exalted him by welcoming him before his presence, and he gave him a throne to sit on it and rule over all universe. Philippians 2, you know, when you come to that section where the Father exalts Jesus, Paul tells us every knee would bow before this Messiah. Every knee. In Romans 1, Paul says, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus our Lord. That's his title. He's the Son of David, but he's also Lord. Luke 1:32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord, Yahweh, will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Let me ask you this. How can a father call a son my Lord? I have tried this one time. So I called my youngest son, Sanai, to my study. And I say to him, you know, Sanai, You are my Lord. My son looked at me like this. And he goes, what are you talking about? And then he runs to mom, and he was laughing, and his mom asked him, you know, what's wrong? Mom, my dad is telling me that I am his Lord. And my wife said, well, we should pray for your dad. But for David, you see, he was his Lord. For David, he was his Savior. For David, he was God in the flesh. And that brings us to what is required, beloved, in verse 37. David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throne, the crowd, heard him gladly. Now, I want to remind all of you that this was the final call that Jesus issued to the Jewish people, especially to the religious leaders in Israel. He was about to be crucified, and he was so gracious, so loving, to give them the opportunity to recognize him and accept him as the Messiah, as Lord. To believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, the Son of God. Notice verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered, this is the scribe, wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. That was the scribe. The scribe, you remember, the scribe came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, God is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offering and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now notice carefully. Jesus never said to the scribe, for what he said, you are in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Many people around you today, they might not far from the kingdom of God, but they are not in the kingdom of God. The people, notice here, they heard the words of Jesus gladly, and yet they were not in the kingdom of God. They were good listeners. There was joy in their listening to Jesus. They were open to listen. They were open to engage themselves in a conversation about the kingdom of God. But they were not in the kingdom of God. After I preached this sermon at Redeemer, one of our members came to me, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't remember the exact day, but he came to me and he said to me, what if someone comes to you and he says to you, oh, so what I really need to do in order to be saved is to love God and my neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor, that's it. Salvation. That's not what Jesus was suggesting. Loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, loving your neighbor as yourself is the proof, the evidence of who you are in Christ. It's not the way to salvation. The way to salvation is faith in the Messiah as Lord, the Lord of your life. He rules your life, and you are willing to come under his lordship and be led by him. Whatever you do in this life, You ask yourself, would my Savior do this? Would my Savior participate in this? He's my Lord. I follow him and I do whatever he tells me to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But the commandments are not a way for justification. Keeping the commandments is the expression of who you are in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous live by faith. I'm sure you have heard people saying things like, Jesus never claimed to be God. No, he did. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you see me, you see my Father. Jesus said, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Some people say, I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, the Lordship of Jesus is always a problem to many people in our world today. The issue is accountability. The issue is people don't want to live their life under the Lordship of Christ. And people say, I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord because of all the hypocrisy and divisions and backbiting, slander in the church. See what people do? The church has never been perfect. And yes, the church needs to grow toward perfection, yes. But you can't use the weakness of the church as an excuse for not going to hell. The only escape from eternal death and destruction is to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. As fully God and fully man, you might not know everything about Christ. You might not comprehend the doctrine of Trinity fully. Doesn't matter. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ through the means of grace, the word, prayer, the sacrament will reveal more of himself to you. You remember John in the conclusion of his letter, John 20, 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs and in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have eternal life. Beloved, notice verse 37. And the great throne heard him gladly. The great crowd heard him gladly. We really don't know if they believe it or not, but they heard him gladly. They were ready to hear him. Let me ask you this. Are you glad to hear the preaching of the Word of God this morning? But when you become glad to hear the Word of God, are you like this scribe who was not far from the kingdom, but he was not in the kingdom? He was glad to hear. Or you are like Joseph of Arimathea, who went to Pilate and he requested for the body of Jesus Christ, to honor the body. Do you know why he did that? Because he believed Jesus was his Lord. Jesus was his Savior. And by asking for his body, he declared to all people around him, "This is my Lord, and I want to honor him." What he did for me was what anyone would do for me, even David, even Abraham, even Isaac, even Jacob. What the patriarchs wouldn't do for me, this Messiah, this Son of God, did for me. He died for me on the cross. And I'm here to ask you for his body because I want to honor him. He believed in the Lordship of Jesus. That's why the Bible gives him a special place. That's why God gave him a special place in the scripture. So, beloved, even this morning, by God's grace, I present to you Jesus. But not Jesus, just the Son of God. But Jesus, the Lord. The man, God in the flesh, that you really want to him under his lordship, if you are not yet under the lordship of Christ. This is the day. This is the day for you to come under his lordship. Because if you come under his lordship, you will enjoy all divine benefits in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as the Son of David, but more importantly, as the Son of God, as the Messiah. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation, and his lordship is a way to blessing, a way to revelation, a way to eternal blessedness. So help each and every one of us to recognize that and come, keep coming under his lordship, living our lives, being under his lordship as the Son of God. Fill this church with men and women and young children who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and his appearing. In his name we pray. Amen.